Will you pray with me? Father, thank you so much that you are the God of your word. And Lord, when you make an incredible statement like, seek me and you'll find me, Lord, we can trust that. And yet, for some reason, Lord, we just go about our day and our lives and don't slow down and seek you, the mighty, living, awesome, loving, powerful, holy God. And I pray that tonight will be different, and will be different from here on out about our attitude towards slowing down and seeking you, that we will be stirred by your Holy Spirit to treasure times with you like we never have before. So would you work in us as you are so good at doing. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have arrived at this part in the Philippians study that has been a struggle for me that you haven't known anything about, because Philippians is four short chapters, and we have gone from really September to May doing those four chapters. And when I tell other pastors' wives that, you know, we've been doing Philippians all year, even though we do break once a month, they're, how do you do that? And so we've got a couple gaps or empty spaces, and one we'll be doing an Easter lesson that you'll pick up today. And I'm kind of excited about doing an Easter lesson after Easter. That'll be kind of fun, but because we will not meet next week. But I had another week to fill, and I didn't feel like, you know, just fill it with something. And I sought the Lord, and I felt like he told me some. 45, which is all about the coming king, but you, the ones retreat, know that I taught that at retreat, and when I felt like that was what I was supposed to do at the retreat, I was like, but Lord, I was going to do that, you know, at the study. And then I heard someone say to another believer, well, you just need to seek the Lord. You've said it to people. You've had it said to you. What does that mean? You know, we're just so flippant. You know, you just need to seek the Lord about it. And I thought, this is something that's so important. It's listed or written over 260 times in the Bible. So God must think it's a very serious, powerful thing. And yet we take it so lightly. So I just thought, you know what? I'm going to park on it. We wanted this year to be real and really affect our lives. And I thought, how beneficial for us to just really be stirred in a deeper way about seeking the Lord. And it was interesting. I've been talking to some people during the week about this, and a few people have said to me, I just need someone to slow me down. I'm so excited. And we need that. Don't we get just so rushed, and it's like, somebody pull me off the merry-go-round, because we almost can't even do it ourselves. And then God pulls us off the merry-go-round and slows us down, and then, ah. So this, I hope and pray, will be one of those nights that's just, ah, that was nice. I want to look at what are the results of seeking him, what we can look to and trust him to do. Things like a sense of his presence, his strength, deliverance, getting a hold of what he has for us, finding him. So I just want to spend this time not only talking about what it means to the Lord, but to take some time and do it. Not just talk about what seeking the Lord is, but to do it. And so this evening, I'm going to spend about 20 minutes sharing, and then we're going to take some time where Gia will lead us in worship for about three songs, and then I'll kind of give you something to just individually seek the Lord about. And you can write, you can just pray, but this is your time. Nobody's going to stand up and share anything. This is your time, you and the Lord. And then we'll move on to a little bit more worship, and then we'll have another time of seeking the Lord, and we'll actually have three separate times. So that's the plan. And this morning, it was a really sweet time. I might give you some verses. Well, we'll see what we're going to do, but it's your time. He says, God says, when you seek me, you will find me. And finding God means really not getting his attention, but really finding God for us is he's getting a hold of our attention. And we're going to give him our attention tonight. Remember when the Lord appeared to young Samuel, and he thought what God was speaking to him. You know, the Lord said, Samuel. And he went to Eli, and he said, Eli, I keep hearing this voice. And Eli said, go back and say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And hear here in the Old Testament is like it's used very much in the New Testament, is hearing as I'm listening with the intent to obey. And see, that's what we want to do when we seek the Lord. We want to say, speak, Lord, because I'm in this place where I want to hear what you have to say, and I want to obey it. Seeking the Lord is not, what do you think I should do about this, Lord? And you know, kind of show me, and then I'll decide if I want to do it. You know, that's when the Lord kind of holds back. You don't really want my wisdom. You think I'm an option. But when we come to him and say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Speak, Lord, because I'm going to listen with the intent to do what you tell me to do. There's basically two words in the Bible that have been translated as seek. And they each have kind of a different feel to them. One is to seek for the purpose of inquiring, to get direction or wisdom or guidance. But the other is to seek for the purpose of securing God's presence, or really, since he never leaves us or forsakes us, we have that presence, but it's securing a sense of his presence. You know, he's always here, but when we seek him, all of a sudden we get a sense of, he's right here. I can sense his presence. I can sense his touch. I can sense his speaking to me. Very often when this word seek is used in the Bible, in either one of those words, it's used in the verb tense that is continual. In other words, not just one time. Don't seek him last week and think you're going to be fine this week because you sought him. But seek him continually. Live in a presence of seeking him and realizing that he's right there for us to talk to. See, if we don't seek his presence, any moment that you and I are not aware of that we have to seek his presence, we're going to look for wisdom somewhere. And see, if we're not looking for guidance and direction from the Lord, and we need guidance and direction, where's it going to come from? These little finite minds, right? And we find ourselves leaning in our own understanding. And if you've walked with the Lord long enough, your understanding's not too bad. And that gets scary sometimes. The longer you walk with the Lord, the more you think when a situation comes, well, that's a no-brainer. I know what God would have me do. Do you? You know, so many times we don't know, and to be in that place of continually seeking his wisdom. Seeking is a settling of the mind and the heart on God. It's a conscious fixing or focusing our mind's attention and our heart's affection on him. In 1 Chronicles 22:19, we're told, now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Set your heart and your soul. It's a deliberate choice to direct our hearts and our thinking towards the Lord. Paul prayed this for the church in 2 Thessalonians 3:5. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God, into the patience of Christ. And I love that. See, there's this determination that you and I have to have as Lord, I'm going to direct my heart towards you. And then he kind of picks up our heart and carries it over into the love of Christ and awareness of all that we have in him. But it takes first us to want to go in that direction. It's not something done flippantly. The words translated as seek indicate effort and desire and warning and expectation. See, when we see something like seek and you shall find, do we believe that? If we seek with an expectation, you know when you're looking for something and you're not sure where it is? Say you lost your keys and they could be out in the parking lot or they could be in here, so you're not really sure. So you seek with, I'm looking, but I don't know. But if you knew, okay, my keys are dropped in here somewhere, you would seek with an expectation that if I go row upon row, go back to where I sat, I will find my keys. And God wants us to have that attitude about seeking. Andrew Murray wrote about four steps of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I think his four steps really apply to what we're doing today as far as asking with confidence the things that God has promised us. So he says, first, We come with that attitude of, I must have it, seeking in prayer. This is where I know I need to go to get a hold of the presence of God. And then I may have it, realizing that the Bible tells us that God can be found, finding the promises in His Word, knowing what you can depend on, that God said. Not too long ago, I was talking to someone, and she was talking about the character of God, and she said, well, I know He does this, and then He does this. And the second one was judgment. And I said, that's not in the Bible. And the look on her face was, but that's what I've been told. That's the character of God that I've been told. I said, it's not there. But see, if she approaches seeking God, thinking He's this God that wants to bash her, who wants to seek God that wants to do that? So we need to know the character of God. So it's, I may have it because God says this is how He reacts. And then I will have it. The confidence that God will do for you personally what He has promised. It's for me. And then in realizing that confidence of I shall have it. You know, it's going to happen. When I sit down and seek the Lord, He will meet me. He will speak. Why? Because He said so. And sometimes it's immediate and sometimes it's not. I just got back from the pastor's wife's board meeting Monday and Tuesday at Murrieta, and you've got 10 people that really love the Lord and been serving the Lord for a long time, and it was the most frustrating day Monday because we just couldn't get a hold of the Lord's heart. All we knew was we kept on saying, nope, doesn't feel right. And it was all good themes. We couldn't even come up with a theme for the retreat. And we'd come up with something, oh, yeah, I like that. It's not it. Over and over again, an entire day. And I thought, oh, Tuesday's going to be terrible if we do this again. Tuesday morning, you know, we had prayed a lot Monday night. Tuesday morning, it was just boom, 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 boom. You know, God kicked in. But see, we didn't give up. We didn't go home and say, God doesn't have anything. Oh, well. But it was like, we knew God has something for this retreat. He cares about pastor's wives. So you hang in there sometimes. And then He kicks in because He promises He will. How long? We want to know, seek you? How long? 5 minutes? 10 minutes? You know, don't you want something? A verse that says, this is how long you have to seek God, and then He kicks in. He doesn't do that. He says, you seek me with the knowledge, with the belief that I will kick in, that you will find me. See, where do you get stuck in that process regarding God's promises? In asking, in knowing what His promises are, in believing Him, or in just going for it and seeking it with a confidence that you trust Him. We don't make a mental or emotional effort to seek God because He's lost or He's hiding. That's how we seek a lost coin or lost keys. But there's always something like through which we've got to go through to get to Him, or something we need to go around. That's what seeking is. The heavens declare the glory of God. Romans talks about that. He reveals Himself in creation. So we get a sense of His presence just by sitting down and enjoying His creation, but not stopping there. But as we praise Him for what He's done, moving into more of a sense of His presence. He shows Himself through His Word. He shows Himself through other people. So seeking can be a conscious effort to go through the natural of creation or His Word or others to discover Him in a deeper way. And then there's obstacles to seeking the Lord. Things we've got to go around. I don't have to tell you that. We all know there's lots of things that get in the way of us spending time with the Lord. See, all of us would, do you want to spend time with the Lord? Do you want to seek the Lord? Well, none of us will go, no, I don't want to do that. Yes, we do. Well, so what happens? Things get in the way. Seeking the Lord involves calling and sometimes pleading. In Isaiah 55:6, we wrote, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. Job 8:5, if you would earnestly seek God and make your supplication to the Almighty. See, laziness is an obstacle. Busyness is an obstacle. So many things. Pride's an obstacle. As I said, many times the answer seems to be right there. So why take the time to seek God? We're busy people. Got a pretty good answer. I don't need to seek the wisdom of God. What you have today is good enough to get through the day. You know, sometimes he's got to make us so desperate that we have no answers, and then we stop and seek him. Why do we do that? In Psalm 10:4, it says, "The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts." But how often you and I are like that. We don't seek God, and God's not really in our thoughts. I love the wisdom and the guidance of God. And the longer I walk with him, the more I just treasure that sense of his presence. And as we walk in his presence more and more and more, when you don't have a sense of it, you miss it. You know? Some of you are shaking your head. Yeah, I know what that's like. And it's an awful feeling. But as we practice being sensitive to him, then when we have those days when we're not, it's like, oh Lord, I don't like this. This is dry. Consider these two verses, 1 Chronicles 28:9. If you seek him, he will be found by you. What a promise. If you seek him, he will be found by you. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must what? Be spiritually elite, walk with the Lord a certain time, be without sin? No. Believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So when we seek him, when we come to him, what are the parameters? Do you believe that he is? Yes. Do you, see, I think this is the second one that trips us up. Do you really believe that he will reward you for seeking him? He who comes to him must believe those two things, that he is all he says he is, and that we will be better off for seeking him, that he will reward us. So our response should be, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore, from Psalm 105:4. And I want to spend the rest of what I want to share tonight is in Psalm 27. So if you turn in your Bibles to Psalm 27, and I want to use David's example of seeking the Lord, because David was good at it. If you look at verse 4, and I won't be putting all the verses up, so you will need to open your Bible to Psalm 27. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. So using this verse, we can say that seeking involves this kind of an attitude, these four desires. One thing, David says, so that single-mindedness, Lord, I want to get hold of you. I want to get a hold of what you have. Not asking with any kind of wavering. James 1 tells us that we get wisdom. God says, if you lack wisdom, ask for it, and he'll give it liberally, but ask in faith. And again, as I shared earlier, that doubting that we have is asking and then saying, I'll decide later, or I don't think you're really going to tell me. And so David here is one thing. I'm not going to waver. I want what you have for me. And then desire. See, one thing I have desired, and this is a strong wanting. So David's in that place that there's one thing I want and I desire it. And then what does he desire? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I just want to be in your presence, Lord. I love being in your presence. I want to be where you want me to be. Being under that place in your will is the best place to be. That's where I want to dwell and settle in. And then to behold, wanting to know him in a deeper way, wanting to see him. You know, beholding is just taking it in to a point where it affects you. You know, God not being distant, these characteristics of the Lord, but I want to behold you so when I see that you're powerful and I see that you're holy, it's affecting my life. So David starts out, one thing, I want it. I want to stay where you want me to be, and I want to behold you. I want it to affect me. And then the result of seeking, Psalm 27:5 says, "For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock." So one of the results of seeking him is we get this sense of safety. And see, it's not a sense of safety that, oh, nothing bad's going to happen to me. We've all been in that place where something bad has happened to us. But it's a sense of safety and God's presence and him saying, I got you. I'm holding you in this. So when we get into his presence and a sense of his presence, we get a sense of safety that we would not have before. He says that he sets our feet on a rock. He gives us a sense of stability that we don't have when we don't seek him. And then Psalm 27:6, "And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord." So he says when he seeks the Lord, his head is lifted up above his enemies. Isn't that interesting? Not when I seek you, Lord, my enemies go away. But no, you lift my head to see above the enemies. He's that one that so preciously puts his hand under our chin, you know, and kind of lifts our head up and says, look at me. Don't look at these enemies. He lifts our head above our enemies. And then Psalm 27:7-10. "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation." When my mother and father forsake me, those that we should be able to depend on the most, if they even let me down, you will not forsake me. You will take care of me. So when we seek him, we are reminded of God's continual care for us. Job's fear was like David's. Don't hide your face from me. After all he lost and after all the things were going on in David's life, he was still at that place of just don't hide your face from me. And in seeking the Lord, we come back to that sense of he's not hiding his face. He promises never to leave. He's right there. But when we don't seek him, we lose the sense of that. Look at David's prayer in verse 9. In the midst of all that he lost, all the scary things, all that Job lost, God would not turn his face. He comforts us with his truth that we'll have his presence and with his presence see all that he has promised to be. See, if I, in a totally self-sacrificing way, came up to you and said, I'm here when you're troubled, and I had the ability to do whatever was good for you, and you trusted me, you know I would do that. You would be able to relax. Huh? Kathy's got it. You know, our kids do that when they're little. You know, Mom's got me. And God says that when you seek me, when you hide in me, you get that sense of, my Father's got me. He's not going to walk away from me. And when I have his presence, he will do everything that is good for me. Psalm 27:11-12 says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of mine enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. The voice of our enemy so often causes confusion. And when we seek the Lord, he sorts it out for us. We will be aware of the intents of the enemy and escape his snares. So when we seek the Lord, we get a hold of his perspective. And then verses 13 and 14 say, David said, I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So we also find in this psalm the result of seeking him is a strengthened heart. Want any of those things? Sense of safety, God lifting your head above the circumstances, being reminded and settled in that God will always take care of me, that he's got a perspective, his ways are not my ways, they're so better and so much higher. Strength and heart, we want all that. And it comes from seeking him, and only from seeking him. But seeking him is waiting on him. Satan says, hurry up. I've learned in my life, whenever I hear that, hurry up, you got to make a decision now. You got to make that decision now. It's usually the enemy of our souls that is doing that, because he doesn't want us to take time to seek the Lord and think things through. So it's, you got enough information, hurry up, make the decision. Where in Scripture does it ever say, God say, hurry up? It says, wait and wait. And he rewards that, and he meets us. David knew the benefits of seeking. So he wrote this psalm, and he called his people, and he calls God's people to seek. And we will find. So Jesus is going to come up here, and the first thing we're going to do is we'll have like about three songs, and then after the three songs, what I'd like you to do is, I think first to do this, we got to have the want to. And really ask the Lord, where do you see me at right now? And say to him, what do you want to say to me during this time? See, because he wants to say something different to each one of us. And as I kind of give you these three things to do, if I get too specific and the Lord's kind of showing you something else, just ignore what I'm telling you to do. You know, go with what God is showing you. But it's really that, Lord, put me in this place where, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And for some of us, he's going to, a lot of times when we seek him, he points something out that we need to deal with. And you know, say your mortgage payment's coming up and you don't know where the money's going to come from. And it's, Lord, give me wisdom. You know, how do I do this? How do I make this payment? And you feel like the Holy Spirit is saying, you were rude to that person yesterday. You have a bad attitude towards me. I know, Lord, but right now, the thing that's burning on my heart, Lord, is the rent. You know, and God says, you want to know what's burning on my heart? Do you want to hear what is burning on my heart? This. And so really be open to, Lord, whatever you want to show me. And if you want to show me something I need to deal with, then he says, search me. Our David said, search me and know my heart, you know, try me and know my ways and lead me in the way everlasting. In other words, when he points something out, it's not, see how bad you are, what? No, this needs to be cleaned up, because then I want to lead you in this everlasting way. So let's seek the Lord, let's worship the Lord, and then you'll have some time to either write or just pray, but kind of along that line is what we'll start out with. You know, when I was talking about teenagers coming to sit on my couch and finally getting to that place where they're kicked back and relaxed before me, and I have that sense of I got them, I thought, as we were doing that song, I want to be like that with the Lord, where my heart is in such a place when I get in his lap, when I seek him, when I cuddle with him, that he can actually say about me, I got her. You know, that's where we want to be, isn't it? You know, where the Lord says, I got her. Now I can work. Now I can speak. So may we learn and appreciate this glorious privilege we have just because we belong to Him, that we can seek Him. And He will deliver us. He will make His presence known. He will guide us. He will make our path smooth. So much that we have. God bless you.